In America, almost every kid has written a letter to Santa Claus at one time or another. And they usually gets addressed to Santa Claus in the North Pole. And the post office has to deal with thousands of letters every Christmas. What is something that you may or may not know is that there are letters written to God, literally to God or to Jesus. And typically people address it Jerusalem, Israel, believe it or not. And the post office in Jerusalem, Israel, literally gets literally thousands of letters every year from letters just to God. And in the post office this one time, I was reading that there was a particular person that wrote a letter to God. His name was Yitzhak Rabia. And that name, Yitzhak Rabia, actually lived in Israel. And the postman that saw it, rather than throwing it away, decided to read it. And Yitzhak Rabia wrote in the letter saying, "Dear God, I need 5,000 shekels, which is about 10,000 RMB, because I am a single father of two young children. My wife passed away last year, and we've been living in poverty. Could you please send 5,000 shekels?" And then it was signed Yitzhak Rabia. And the postman that read it was so moved by it that he actually collected a donation among the other postmen, and they were able to collect 4,700 shekels. And they sent it to Yitzhak Rabia because he left his return address in Israel. Within a month later, the post office received another letter to God from Yitzhak Rabia. But this time, the letter from Yitzhak read, "Dear God, thank you for the contribution, but next time, please do not send it through the post office. They are thieves. They stole 700 shekels." And I kind of laugh at that story because sometimes we focus so much of what we don't have, and we lose sight of all the things that we do have. When you think of the word a rich person, what is it that comes to mind? Here are some pictures of you may know some of these guys: Warren Buffett, Bill Gates, Jack Ma, Li Ka-shing. See, there's some of the richest people in the world, worth billions and billions of dollars. And what's interesting is when you read stuff like from rich people, you know, it often makes us kind of fantasize of what it's like if I had that kind of money. I don't know about you, but I'm kind of, you know, very curious about some of these uber rich people. But oftentimes, if we focus too much on that, that leads to discontentment, at least in my life, when I kind of think about the stuff that I don't have, that everybody else seems to have. And discontentment leads to fear, especially fear of missing out. That seems like everybody else has it, but I just don't. And that FOMO, that fear of missing out, can often lead to depression. And depression can lead to all kind of problems. But we need to learn, I think, as Christians, to really appreciate what we do have. And the fact of the matter is that Christians are rich. Christians are rich. In fact, our wealth goes way beyond Warren Buffett or Jack Ma. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, and here we're going to take a look at verses 3 through 14. But I want to take a look at here to start off in our introduction of verse 3. Look at what Paul says, talking to Christians and reminding us in verse 3. Paul says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." Let's stop right there. This passage is telling us that we have a high standing with Christ. We have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. We have the riches of heaven at our disposal. We don't have to focus on what we don't have, but rather we need to focus on what we do have. And when we do focus on the things that we already have, rather than asking God for more, rather, we should be praying, "God, help us to realize what we do have." And when we do that, we will be praising God. First of all, we praise when we realize of the blessings that we have in Christ Jesus, we praise the Father for selecting us, praising the Father for choosing us to be His child, praising our Heavenly Father for wanting us to be in His family. Look with me in verse 4. Paul says, just as He chose you in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. In love, verse 5, He predestined us to adoptions as son through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Let's stop right there. God has picked us out and has given us eternal life and every spiritual blessing as His child. Verse 4, again, it says that He chose us in Him. When did He do this? When did God bless you? When did He choose you? Was it when you started attending TEF? No, it was before that. It was before the beginning of the church in Acts 2. It was before Abraham. It was before even the creation of Adam and Eve. It was before the foundation of the world. He chose us. His blessings doesn't begin now. It began before the foundation of the world. And this teaches us that God has chosen us. God, who knows what He is doing, He is the sovereign God, and He knows what He is doing, and He chose you and me. Growing up as a kid in primary school, I was always the second shortest person in my class. And because of that, I was not often chosen to play many sports, especially during PE, physical education. And I really dreaded the spring semester, because in the spring for PE, for physical education in primary school, the sport of the time was baseball. And so the PE teacher would choose the two best athletes in fifth grade, and the rest of us would stand against a wall as the two captains were choosing who would be on their team. And then one by one, people were chosen that were standing against the wall. And most of the time, I was the last person to be chosen because nobody wanted me on the team. So I grew up kind of like, again, being the second shortest person in the class, nobody really wanted me on their athletic team. And to top it all off, I didn't have a baseball glove. Most of the kids in my fifth grade class, most of the boys played Little League. Baseball is very popular in America, but because of our financial, my parents, my family wasn't wealthy. We didn't have much athleticism either. And so I didn't even have a glove, whereas most of the kids in the school had gloves and even uniforms. So anyway, I was chosen last, my captain of the team, I forgot his name, but he said, Jason, go out to the far right field, deep right field. And the reason why he put me there is that's because it's way out there and it rarely sees any kind of action. Okay, and so I'm sitting out there by myself in the far right field, and everybody is having fun in the infield because most of the action in baseball is in the infield, and they're having fun. Then all of a sudden, things got really silent. And the person that was up to bat was Javier. Javier, he was the captain of the other team because he was the best player in our school, and he was very big. He was twice the size of me, had his own uniform. And I remember he was a lefty too, so he was planning on hitting it out to the far right field. And he actually pointed as he kind of went up to bat. And I thought, oh man, I'm dead. And when the pitcher pitched the ball, Javier hit the ball so hard that it sounded like thunder. And that ball was heading straight to me. And people were cheering, Javier on as he was running the bases, and the ball was coming straight at me. And again, I didn't even have a glove. And I just stuck my hand out and I caught the ball. And then all of a sudden, the whole entire baseball field, baseball players turned silent for a second. And then they all started cheering. And I caught the ball. And people said, Jason caught the ball. Actually, it was little Jason caught the ball. And I felt so good. And people were kind of cheering me on and saying, Jason beat Javier. Little Jason beat Javier. And I was so excited that people even knew my name, because nobody ever knew my name before then. And people were saying, oh, Jason beat Javier. And it felt so good that day. It was just such a thrilling feeling. But that wasn't the best part. The best part was the next day, when we all lined up to be chosen, I was chosen first. If you are here today and you are a Christian, you are chosen by God because He wants you. Because He wants you. And so because of this, we can praise God. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, first and foremost, because the Father has selected us. Number two, we praise the Son for selecting us, praising Jesus for saving us, praising Jesus for redeeming us and setting us free with His own shed blood on the cross. Verse 7, look with me in verse 7 and 8. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. Here, this passage teaches us that Christ has set us free from our sins. He has paid the price to release us from the bondage of sin. We are set free. We were condemned to die because of our sins, but because Christ purchased our freedom with His own shed blood on the cross, we are free. We are no longer prisoners, but now we are His heirs of the kingdom of God. A man by the name of Robert Salzman was a person who was in prison most of his life, ever since he was a teenager. And he spent most of his life behind bars, but he was finally released from prison when he was 51 years old. And Salzman found it difficult to enjoy freedom outside of prison life. As most prisoners, a lot of these guys who've been in prison, they've kind of been institutionalized and they really don't know how to function in regular society. So he was struggling to pay rent, struggling to keep down a job. But it just so happened there was kind of like this grace-like experience where he actually ran into a guy by the name of Rashad Ernesto Green. And Rashad Ernesto Green is a writer-director, and he happened to be in New York City on the subway, and he noticed Robert Salzman and all of his tattoos and got a chance to talk with him a little bit. And Ernesto was actually doing a film about prison, about prisoners. And so he actually asked Robert Salzman to actually audition for the role, which Salzman did. And surprisingly, he got one of the lead parts. So he went from being an ex-con, a prisoner, to a movie star overnight. Well, anyway, during the filming, they were filming this in Long Island prison. And during the filming, it's pretty long hours, and Salzman was so tired, he actually fell asleep in the cot, in the beds of the prison cell where he was doing the movie and doing the filming. And when he woke up, he became confused, and he thought that he was a prisoner again. And he started to kind of cry in despair until it slowly dawned on him that he was actually not in prison, but he was actually a free man. And Salzman, his tears turned to joy, knowing that at that moment that he was not a prisoner anymore, and that he could walk out from those prison doors at any time. This is what redemption is all about. This is what being set free is all about. It is God who's taking us from prison and making us stars. Not movie stars, but stars in His kingdom. We are free. We are free to be all that God wants us to be because Christ paid the price to set us free from our sins. We are rich in Christ. Praise the Father for selecting us. Praise the Son for setting us free. And thirdly, praise the Spirit for securing our salvation. Praise the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, for guaranteeing our inheritance in heaven. The Holy Spirit ensures our eternal destiny. Look with me in verse 13. It says, "In him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of his glory." When you put your trust in Jesus Christ, God gives us his Holy Spirit, who is our seal, and he deposits guaranteeing our salvation. Once we put our faith in Jesus Christ, our eternal security is fixed. It's secured. The Holy Spirit is the seal. It's God's stamp of approval guaranteeing our arrival to heaven. Once in a while, we like to order takeout. And I know some of you order from like Ulama, but because we can't read Chinese, I order through something called Sherpas. And Sherpas, I really like ordering through Sherpas. They probably charge a little bit more than Ulama. But one of the things I like about Sherpas is when I order through them and I get the food that's delivered to me is actually, every container has a seal to it. It's actually a sticker that's sealed. And if that seal is broken, then the driver, the Sherpa's driver, can be fired because it can't be broken. It's basically the seal guarantees that this food has not been tampered with and it gets to its destiny. Well, in the same way, God puts the seal of the Holy Spirit on every believer, ensuring our delivery to heaven. You can be sure that no one is going to steal us away. Our arrival, from the moment that you become a Christian to the day you die, our arrival to heaven is guaranteed because of the seal of the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 through 39, Paul says, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depths, nor any other created things will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Nothing can separate us from him. It's kind of like when we become Christians, we hold on to Jesus, Jesus holds on to us, and sometimes during our Christian life, we kind of want to pull away from Christ, but you know, he never lets us go. Eternal life is eternal, and nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Jesus says in John chapter 10, Jesus says, "I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." No one can snatch them out of my hand. "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand." There's no way God will ever let you go. The Holy Spirit is God's seal, his stamp ensuring and securing our arrival to heaven. My friends, we are rich in Christ. Don't focus on what you don't have. Instead, focus on what you do have and let it fill your hearts with praise. Praise the Father for selecting us. Praise the Son for setting us free. Praise the Spirit for securing our salvation. Focus on what we do have. Michelangelo is an artist that most of you have heard about. He lived about 500 years ago. He's known for being the artist who made the David statue. But he's also mostly known as the person who painted the Sistine Chapel in the Vatican. If you've ever been there in Rome, you've probably visited the Vatican and just seen the amazing artwork of Michelangelo. I was reading a book by a professor at Syracuse University named Hatfield. He wrote the book called The Wealth of Michelangelo. What was interesting is that for Michelangelo, he lived to about 89 years old, and for the most of his life, of Michelangelo's life, he was very wealthy. In fact, he was extremely wealthy. He was probably the richest artist of all time. What was also interesting, and the reason why the professor wrote this book, is that Michelangelo, although he was incredibly wealthy, and although he had a lot of money, he didn't live that way. Michelangelo would constantly complain about how much money he didn't have. In fact, he would borrow money from his family members. He would rarely spend money, or definitely he would never give it away. But rather, his family thought that he was pretty poor, and he would actually be sometimes even begging for food. Michelangelo was a rich man, but he was living like a poor man. Let's not be that way. We are rich in Christ. Let's not live in spiritual poverty. We have the spiritual resources of heaven. We have the spiritual resources to forgive. Let's not live in bitterness. We have the spiritual resources to love. Let's not live in hate. Instead, let's praise the Lord for all he has done for us, selecting us, setting us free, securing us. Let's pray. Father, thank you for blessing us with all spiritual blessings. And because of that, Father, I don't pray for more blessings for us today, but rather help us to see what we already have. And so, Father, my prayer for me and for everyone listening as Christians, I don't pray for more. I pray for eyes to see how much you've already blessed us with, and help us to utilize those blessings for your glory and for your kingdom's purposes. Father, thank you that we are rich, not because of the money that we have in our pockets, but because of Christ living in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.